Good morning. I want to begin the press conference by offering a brief update on the severe weather that moved through Iowa last evening. About 7:15 p.m., a tornado was spotted on the ground in Carroll County, moving toward Lake City in Calhoun County. Shortly thereafter, the tornado hit Lake City, causing damage to South Central Calhoun High School and homes and damaging trees and power lines. Although there were well over 100 people at the high school for a baccalaureate celebration when the tornado hit, fortunately they did evacuate to the basement and to the locker room area, and no one was injured. After the storm had passed through Lake City, I was updated on the damage and immediately authorized state resources, including a SAW team, to clear debris, allowing emergency vehicles access to the city. Initial damage caused Iowa Highway 175 to be blocked, but about 2 a.m. this morning, the road had been cleared and reopened to traffic. The SAW team that began work last evening did an exceptional job. This morning, a new SAW team will be in town helping to clear more debris. To those living in the storm-affected communities, I want you to know that the state stands ready to assist you in any way that we can. I personally intend to travel to Calhoun County today to assess the damage and to find out how the state can help get the community back on its feet as quickly as possible. We will provide a full schedule of my visit as soon as it becomes available. Today, we are joined by members of the Madison County Historical Preservation Commission to make an exciting announcement. This commission and the Department of Cultural Affairs are partnering to present the third annual Preserve Iowa Summit next month in Winterset, Iowa. This event will be held June 25th through the 27th and is known as the premier statewide annual conference for historic preservation. I just recently had the opportunity to attend the Main Street event and honored many communities around the state that have done a lot to restore and preserve their main streets, and using historic preservation as an important part of that. This summit that will be held in Winterset will showcase the economic development and quality of life benefits that our communities receive through the preservation of historic properties. As many of you know, I love Iowa history. In Winterset is the home of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum. This is the most recent Iowa History Journal, which just came out with a wonderful picture of John Wayne on the cover. Plus, I want to point out on the inside, there's a article, the new museum is going to open with the John Wayne Monument. Of course, this is on the same block of where his birthplace is preserved. Very small wooden home. My signature is on the guest book there, right behind Ronald Reagan's. President Reagan made his last political campaign speech there in 1984, just before that election. So we're talking about two events. We're talking about the summit that's going to be held in June, but there's also another big event coming up Memorial Weekend. The ribbon cutting for this museum is going to be at noon on the 23rd of May. That's Saturday before Memorial Day. And then there is a fundraiser, I think at 5:30 p.m., fundraiser and auction. They also have they have a country music group. I want to try to... Marty Stewart and his fabulous superlatives. Marty Stewart and his fabulous superlatives will also be making
a
presentation.
You can't buy advertising like that, can you?
Anyway.
No.
Anyway, I'm. Let me tell you, I'm buying a ticket. I'm going to both the ribbon cutting and to the fundraiser. And I'm a big John Wayne fan. I got a chance to see a preview of the museum, and they have his car that was specially designed so he could wear his cowboy hat while he's driving it, I think. They have They have a lot of the movie posters, and they have a lot of the old movies, and they even have some seats from the Grauman Chinese Theater. So it is a neat place that I certainly want to encourage people to attend, both the June 25th through the 27th for this historic preservation conference, but also the John Wayne Museum opening, which is on the 23rd. So see you all there. With that, I want to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds to tell you more.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor Branstad. And I just our thoughts go out to those that were impacted by the storms last night. So we look forward to the governor visiting the area to see the damage that is done and to offer the assistance from the state. The Preserve Iowa Summit is designed to help Iowans discover, preserve, and enhance their community's unique history and a sense of place through the preservation of historic properties. These efforts are important in helping towns and cities really retain their authenticity and distinctive identities, as well as to help them build capacity to enhance the quality of life for residents and visitors that are going to be at the opening of the John Wayne Museum in May. These efforts also provide the foundation for cultural infrastructure that supports economic development and also creates jobs. This year's host for the summit, as you all know, is Winterset, and its location is really ideal for the attendees. The community has been very active in historic preservation. In Winterset, attendees will be able to attend the workshop to learn more about Madison County's role in the Underground Railroad. They'll be able to tour some of Winterset's galleries and the historic buildings that are around the Courthouse Square. They'll enjoy a walking tour of Winterset's historic homes that were built in the late 19th as well as the 20th century, and visit the recently rehabilitated E.E. Warren Opera House and the 1920 Hotel Greenfield in Greenfield also. This is going to be an exciting event, so we want to encourage Iowans to register for the summit today and participate. There's a lot of great things that are happening, and at this time I would like to invite Director County to the podium to share some additional details about the summit. Mary?
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much, Governor Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, for having us here today. And just to piggyback on what the governor mentioned, it's a great year for Winterset, for Madison County, because you're also celebrating the 20th anniversary of the movie The Bridges of Madison County. Mm-hmm. And then if you read, The Bridges of Madison County will actually be launching on Broadway, and it'll be launching in Des Moines this coming fall. So all eyes will be on Iowa. And then obviously hosting the conference, which we're here to discuss today. We are so pleased and grateful to partner with the members of the Madison County Historic Preservation Commission to organize and present this year's Preserve Iowa Summit. So I definitely want to thank all of you for your hard work, along with our staff from the State Historic Preservation Office. I'd like to acknowledge Brenda Hollingsworth, along with some of the committee members here today. We have Mayor Jim Olson, Madison County Supervisor Aaron Price, Linda Smith, Heather Riley, Molly Claus, Julie Ferrer, Carol Bassett, Jared McDonald, and Tom Lenners. This summit and the programs and projects that will be presented are excellent examples of how the Department of Cultural Affairs works to empower Iowans to build and sustain culturally vibrant communities. By connecting Iowans to the people, places, and points of pride that define our state, we can ensure Iowa is recognized as a state that fosters creativity and serves as a catalyst for innovation, where our history is preserved and communicated to connect the past, present, and future generations. A wonderful tool we have under our umbrella, where we work very closely with the Economic Development Authority, is our historic tax credit program, which has really worked to, in terms of economic development across the state, to revitalize and rehabilitate downtowns, neighborhoods, main streets, and communities such as Winterset. Those efforts have been significantly successful in Winterset and Madison County, and they are perfect examples of how a partnership at the state and local levels can be successful in leveraging cultural vitality to spur this sort of economic growth. In addition to being successful at the state and local level, this kind of partnership can support rural-urban cooperation to capitalize on historical and cultural assets. Partnerships among rural and urban communities can bridge divides, build mutual understanding, generate economic opportunities, and bring creative energy to projects and programs at the regional level. So as you can see at this 3-day summit, It has a lot to offer in terms of technical information and programs that support historic preservation. And as you've heard, many excellent examples of successful outcomes of historic preservation and adaptive reuse of historic properties. So I strongly encourage Iowans to register today for the summit by going online to preserveiowasummit.com. And people interested in attending can save $30 off the registration fee by taking advantage of the early bird conference registration now through May 15th. So again, the website is www.preserveiowasummit.com. And with that, I will now take any questions you may have or turn it back over to the governor and lieutenant governor.
Well, we're all available for questions on this subject, and I'm sure the Madison County historical people would be willing to respond to specific questions as well. Of course, they also have the Covered Bridge Festival every fall in October. That's another great event that's held in Winterset. Questions? More interest in history here. Well, we're going to be announcing that in the very near future. Well, it was very successful, by the way. And we started some scholarships with the last inauguration. We're going to be adding some more scholarships, including ones involving history and cultural areas. But we're not ready to announce that today. We want to have the final figures on that, but I think you'll be impressed when you hear the amount after all the bills are paid, and there's a couple of pledges that we're just in the process of completing. But I know we're very close, and hopefully within the next month or so we'll be able to announce that. But it will indeed enhance the number of scholarships we're able to have, and including expanding it into the history and culture in addition to what we're doing for agriculture and veterans and for health. Yeah. You want to come up?
People might not recognize me because I usually in sweatshirt and jeans.
So. Well, we're glad you dressed up.
Yeah, thank you.
So what does your market research tell you about the long-term future for the John Wayne site? I remember having a conversation with my niece talking about Sean Connery maybe being the best James Bond. She didn't even know who James Sean yeah. Connery.
Well, I'll tell you what, John Wayne's about 105. John Wayne's would be 105. And we don't see any let up in who he is. He's still ranked in the top five of movie actors. And, we've had over a million visitors over the years in the John Wayne birthplace. And all those people will want to come back. And with all the new people that are coming in for the museum, we just don't think there's going to be a problem with that.
John Wayne is one of the few actors who it just seems to be timeless. Even a lot of young people that were born after he died are still intrigued by John Wayne. He is a bigger than life character. And I really believe that this is going to be a very successful, and they have, you got a lot of his movies right. You're going to show. They got a lot of the movie posters. And so I think this is going to be very successful.
And John Wayne is kind of a hand-me-down thing, where parents bring their kids, grandparents bring their grandkids because they want to stop and see it. And then those kids we just think it'll keep going.
Okay. Other questions? Well, thank you, Mayor.
Yep. I was ready for what kind of economic impact this is going to have. I've been
you
studying this,
going.
And I got my – no, really, here's what I think is going to happen for us as far as it takes me 10 minutes just to introduce myself, folks. But here's what I think is going to happen with this summit. We're going to get 300 or 400 or 500 people there. It's going to be a nice economic impact for us for 4 or 5 days. But when those people see what kind of a downtown square we have and all the historical things we have and all the shops and the John Wayne – they're going to tell other people, and other people are going to come, and it's just going to be one of those continual things for the next few years. coming to Winterset to see that. So it's going to be a word-of-mouth type of thing, and we're really excited about that.
Well, let me also add a few things. First of all, Ronald Reagan and his media people that ran his campaigns were pretty smart about choosing the right locations for their events. And it's no accident that he had his last political event on the square with the Madison County courthouse in the background. I also think that the choice of Madison County for the movie Bridges of Madison County, and that also has had quite an impact. So this is just one more thing that adds to the draw that is Winterset and Madison County.
And if you haven't been there, I'm a retired teacher, and I can look at all your faces and remember if I see you again. So,
plus, Madison County has more rattlesnakes than any other county in Iowa,
right,
by the way.
And this week I might be one of them.
Excuse me. Go ahead, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you. Other questions? We haven't even got to that point at this situation. I guess I wanted to say that we certainly are interested in providing the best mental health services to the people of Iowa. We're going through a modernization and redesign of the mental health delivery system. Those institutions were built, I think, way back in the 19th century when we used to warehouse thousands of people. We've got a new, more modern delivery system today that's designed to try to meet the individual needs of people that have mental health issues. Now, we want to work with the communities to best use those facilities. We already have significant corrections jobs that are there on those campuses, and I'm sure there's other uses that can be found as well. No, it's not over till it's over, and I made it really clear last week that we do not want to have another fight over supplemental state aid next year. I made my recommendations on the second day of the legislative session for both years of the biennium. Schools have this year had to wait way beyond what was a reasonable time to know what they were going to receive. We think they need to approve both fiscal year 2016 and 17 before they adjourn, so we don't have to have schools go through this next year as well. So that is absolutely critical that be resolved during this session.
So no deal for you if they just want to do one deal and go home?
Now, 1 year is not adequate. The school people certainly don't want to go through this again next year. On behalf of the people of Iowa, I want to make sure that we resolve this for the entire biennium, and we need to pass a budget that is sustainable for the long term as well.
Are you good with the money? Because everybody didn't sit, you had gone for one and a quarter, this 55 extra million here.
Well,
are you okay with it?
Well, I always look at the whole budget. So this is a big item because school aid gets the biggest chunk of the state budget, a $7 billion budget. K-12 public education gets over $3 billion of that $7 billion, plus we're putting $50 million more each year for the next 3 years into the teacher leadership program. We're also putting money into the Reading Resource Center, focusing on making sure that all of our students can read before they leave third grade, and rewarding high achievers that go into teaching with a stipend of $20,000 paid over a five-year period over and above what they receive. So there's a lot more to what we're doing for K-12 education than just supplemental state aid. I would also point out, several years ago, the legislature authorized that 1 cent of the sales tax would go for school infrastructure. They also have the PEPL program as well for infrastructure. So we're doing a lot for education, but we do need to take away the uncertainty. We do need to resolve the supplemental state aid for both years of the biennium.
So are you okay with the extra 55 or not?
Well, it all depends upon what happens in other aspects of the budget. We want to make sure that we have a budget that's sustainable over the five-year period that we projected, and that's the reason why I want a biennial budget and want one that's going to be sustainable over the long term. Other questions? Yes. Well, just remember the source of the report. That organization has a history of not being necessarily reliable. So I want to make sure that we're getting accurate information from reliable groups. I'm very hopeful. Those are both important issues that we've been working on for some time. And as you know, they both passed one house by a huge, overwhelming bipartisan majority. We think that the House needs to pass the anti-bullying legislation. The Senate needs to pass the Connect Every Acre broadband initiative, both of which I think had, huge. I mean, the vote in the Senate, I think, was 43-7 on anti-bullying. I think it was, what, over 90? 90-5. On the Connect Every Acre. So these are bills that have broad-based bipartisan support. We've worked on, have great support among the public, and the legislature shouldn't adjourn without the two houses reaching agreement and passing those.
Are either of you roasting and or writing with Senator Ernst at her event in a couple weeks?
I don't know if I'm writing, but I'm roasting, so I'm going, yes. I'll be there.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I have a motorcycle license, but I haven't ridden for quite a while, so I'm not sure that I'm going to do that. I want to be sure it's safe, you know.
Like riding a bike?
Yeah, it's like riding a bike, only it's a bigger, heavier, more powerful vehicle. But I have ridden a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Well, probably not. We're getting into some pretty tough questions here. Yeah, they're happy hunting grounds. There's no question about that. A lot of the companies we're calling on, though, have already made significant investments in Iowa. I would point out that the California trip included both Facebook and Google. Google is, they're in the process, I think, their fifth expansion in Council Bluffs, up to $2.5 billion. Facebook is in phase two of their expansion there. McKesson, I met with them. They have over 300 jobs in Dubuque, plus they're in building this new distribution center in Clear Lake that'll add 165 jobs. Wells Fargo, 14,000 jobs in Iowa, recently expanded their operation in West Des Moines, and they're in mortgage and credit as well as banking. Solazyme, they have jobs in both Clinton and in Galva. So we talked to some other prospects as well. In Chicago, similarly, we have companies that already have an investment in Iowa. We don't talk about the prospects because it's their decision, but we certainly think that Iowa has a lot to offer, and we're encouraged about the success that we're having in our economic development department. We've had, I think, over $11 billion in capital investments that have been made here since I came back as governor, and the lieutenant governor and I and Debbie Durham have worked closely as a team on many projects, and we're excited about the way it's going.
What was it like meeting Mark Zuckerberg?
Well, I met with Sheryl Sandberg the most, and then I told Sheryl the story about how
drafted here.
Yeah, yeah. I told the story about how Michael Bougelot and Ted Stopulis started this movement on Facebook to draft me to run for governor again. And she was pretty intrigued by that. And so then she said, well, let me get a picture. You and I can get a picture with Mark Zuckerberg. And when you break the record, we can take some credit for having recruited you back to run for governor again. You know, she had a real tragedy in her family, her husband. That I was with her on Tuesday. She also sent me a really nice email on Friday morning thanking me for the visit and all of that, and her husband died that day. So I feel really bad for her. I have sent her a condolences card, and she's a very impressive woman. She also gave me an autographed copy of her book, Lean In. So I really, feel bad about what the tragedy that happened to her husband. I never met her husband, but from what I understand, he's a great guy and was very supportive of her and her career. And so it does bring it home, you know. I mean, here's a great company that's doing wonderful things, and we're very appreciative of the investments they've made in Iowa. But yet it's a very personal thing, and you see this kind of a tragedy happen to somebody, you know, that I had just met and who I was very impressed with and appreciated. She gave us, our whole delegation a significant amount of time. And the big talk was about that she was wearing a new Apple Watch in that picture. Now, I noticed her look at the watch a couple times, but I didn't really realize the significance of it.
Governor, there are several law enforcement agencies around the state which are considering wearing video cameras on the officer's person to videotape interactions with the public and people they may be arresting. Do you think there's a state role in determining how much of that video must be archived or saved for how long?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, I do think it's a local decision, and these things can be expensive. But I think there might be a role for the state public safety to work with local law enforcement and come up with some kind of uniformity in terms of how these video tapes would be preserved. So I think that's something that it would be wise for us to look into and come up so we have a uniform policy. We're also working on a similar thing with preservation of other records. And you may know that that's a big issue, preserving these records, and there's some inconsistency and just can be a real burden keeping records forever and ever that may not have much value. But then there's others things that have significant historical value and benefit that we certainly don't want to be lost.
All right, thanks, Governor.
Thank you.
Thank you.